If you'll take out a Bible and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, we're going to go there today. If you did not bring a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you, the red covered book right there. If that's already been taken, then somebody next to you has a Bible, and you can just scoot up next to them and look over their shoulder. But we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs follows Psalms, so if you open it to the middle and hit Psalms, it's just one block to the right there, and you're in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30, we're going to look at that as we continue our series on the Lord's Prayer. And what we are looking at is we've decided that we wanted to talk about how to pray with power. How do you pray with power? Everybody, we already discussed, knows how to pray. I mean, we know that. You all know how to pray. I know how to pray. Everybody, people who don't even go to church know how to pray. You just get somebody in a troubled situation. You get somebody that's in danger or at their wits' end. They start praying. I don't know who they're praying to or what they're praying to, but everybody knows how to pray. But what we want to do is we want to know how to pray, not just for a religious act, but to pray in a way that actually changes things. I mean, wouldn't that be cool? To actually pray in a way that brings about change. To pray in a way that impacts the world around us, that impacts our own personal world. What we're talking about is praying with power. I want to pray like that. And so did the disciples, these men of prayer who knew how to pray backwards and forwards. They all saw Jesus pray. They said, please teach us to pray with power. Prayer that changes things. And so Jesus taught a lot. They went to the guy who knew what to do. And he taught them a lot about prayer. And we find that throughout the scriptures we're taught about how to pray. And he talks about the benefits of group praying. He talks about the benefits of praying according to his name and in his will. He talks about the benefits of praying and using just a few words. He also warns people against praying prayers that are rote, that are just memorized prayers, because they can become meaningless, which is kind of interesting, because then he starts by giving the Lord's Prayer, which even the Lord's Prayer can become meaningless if all we do is quote it and don't know or pray from the heart. So what we do is we began by defining what prayer is, and Jesus was for sure the one that taught us first that prayer is more than just a conversation with God. It's more than just talking to God. It is what we call now, and it's a definition that we've used every week to give us our definition of prayer, and that is prayer is communion with God. Communion with God. It's more than conversation, because it's that intimate sharing of ourselves and who we are and getting to know God and who He is. That's what prayer is. It's an intimate sharing. So with that said, then we are taking the framework, because we believe that that's what Jesus was giving with the Lord's Prayer. Not just another prayer that could be quoted, but a prayer that could give us guidance in how to pray with power. It's almost like he said, if you want powerful prayers, these are some of the elements that you need to make sure are in it. And so we're taking it phrase by phrase. What did Jesus mean? Why did he say that in that prayer? And how can that help us pray in a powerful way? So we're going to continue with that. If you have your blue sheet, you can pull it out. It kind of helps to track along with where we're going. And what we want to do is begin by reviewing where we've gone with the Lord's Prayer. Now, before we do that, we're going to quote the Lord's Prayer together. Now, we've done this to begin it. If you don't know the Lord's Prayer, we're going to have it on the screen for you, and we can just going to quote it together, speaking these words that Jesus asked us to speak together as we open our time. So you can call your attention to the screen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. That's the prayer that Jesus gave him. That's the prayer we're looking at today. So what does it mean? Just in a review as we talk about the phrases today. The first phrase Jesus gives is our Father. And we know that prayer, it starts with relationship. It starts with relationship. Simply put, Jesus, one of the reasons they crucified Jesus is because he said, he called God Father. He said Father when he prayed. Well, that made all the religious people mad because you can't have that kind of intimate relationship with God. Wrong. Jesus said that is the basis of who we are, a relationship with God. We also point out that the Lord's Prayer is plural, so it's a relationship with each other as well. So it starts with relationship. The second phrase is that it's who art in heaven. It recognizes God's holiness. A powerful prayer, a prayer that changes things, has to first recognize that God is bigger than us. He's somebody, he's not just a really strong human. He's not just somebody who has more power than you. He is a whole nother being. It is God. He is the creator. We are the creation. He is the Lord and master, and we are his servants. Number three, it glorifies his name. It glorifies his name. It honors the name of God. Hallowed be thy name. And we said that when we pray according to his name, it doesn't mean just putting Jesus' name at the end of the prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Like a magic word. That's the formula. No, it means that you pray for the things that bring glory to God. It would be in line with what God wants. What would Jesus do? What would God do? What kind of things should I be praying for? The things that honor his name. And then number four, it says, thy kingdom come. It is based on the kingdom viewpoint. That is seeing the world as God sees the world, which is an ongoing journey that we all have because we live in this real world and we see things and we measure things the way the world does. And that is a lot of times wrong. God doesn't measure people's worth, for example, by how much money they make or what they do. God measures their worth by the fact that he created them and in relationship to himself. He has his own purposes. He sees the world differently, and we need to see the world the way God sees it. Thy kingdom come. And then that famous part of the prayer that Jesus prayed even in the garden last week we talked about, that it's yielded to his will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus in the prayer in the garden, remember he said, not my will, but thy will be done. You pray your prayer in the midst of knowing, is this something that you want, God? What do you want? And we recognize that our will is not always God's will. And our ways are not always his ways. But we also realize that his ways are always best. It's not just that he has a contrary way. It's not just that he wants to make you miserable. Actually, he wants the best for you. He's more concerned with building character in you and taking you and making you into all he created you to be. And sometimes that involves pain. Sometimes that involves something that we wouldn't normally bring on ourselves. So, thy will be done. Today, we look at the next phrase of the prayer, which is, give us this day our daily bread. Now, maybe up until now, you said, oh, finally, we're going to get practical, you know, in prayer. We're going to give us this day our daily bread. It is a practical part of the prayer. And before we look at the scripture today in Proverbs chapter 30, I want you to know that we have to couch this in who we are. And we live in a society of more, don't we? More. I mean, we see it from the time that we're children. Gimme, 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 gimme. You know? Here, you can have, I mean, doesn't this happen? If you haven't been on your porch at Halloween, it can happen anytime, anywhere. You never know. You hold out the basket of candy, just take one. In comes the hand. No, just one. But everybody wants more. Can I have another one? Right? That's the way, we're like that too. The adults, we hardly lose it. We want more. We evaluate things by what can we get out of it? How much more can we get? You know, we're always looking for the most for the least. What's the, when from the time that somebody's cutting a piece of pie and you're looking at the pie and you're saying, which piece of pie is the biggest piece of pie? All right, that one looks bigger, but I'm not sure. You know, hey, he got the biggest piece. You know, I hear that at potlucks all the time. But a piece of the biggest pie. We also, you know, we evaluate places to go out to eat, don't we, by how much food you get for your money. Hey, you know, for $9.99, you get the buffet. You know, all you can eat buffet. And instead of being sensitive people and going, eating a plate of food and saying, this is all I can eat. That's all you can eat, you know. It's what it's supposed to be. But no, we go back and back because you know what? I'm getting my money's worth. Yeah. This is my fourth plate. $9.99, I'm $2.50 a plate. My goal, $1 a plate. You know? I always think it's funny that at a buffet, the people come back and their plates are piled. And I'm thinking, it's a buffet. You can go back. Why you got so much at the first? But that's the way we are. It's like, this is all? I get all this? It's all mine? I should take it all back to the table. You know, and there's the guy that pulls the chair right up to it, you know? Whoa, buddy. There's a sneeze guard for a reason, you know? So, but that's the kind of society that we live in, is that all-you-can-eat buffet, all you can hold. You know, we go to the stores and we get all we can hold, all we can grab, and that's how we live life. Go for the gusto, get everything that you can, and we take as much stuff as we can. And the more stuff we can hold, we even want more than we can hold. So we get our kids to hold stuff, or we get the bigger baskets, or like when it comes to life in general, we get the storage area. You know, we have so much stuff, we get a house for our stuff. And you all know how I feel about storage area. I mention that all the time. You know, we have so much stuff that we buy houses for our stuff. It's incredible. But we want more. And that's the kind of... So how in the world could we figure out how to pray for what we need when we live in a society where we have more and more all the time? Well, the answer is we've got to go for some wisdom. And the great place to find wisdom is in the Proverbs. It's full of wisdom. It helps us to get a little bit of perspective, even when we've stepped out of the reality of perspective and live in this society of more, more, more. I want you to hear the prayer of this psalmist as he writes the proverb. I want you to hear the prayer. And then we're going to talk about it and how it applies to us. But let's look at it together. If you're there now in Proverbs chapter 30, I'm going to start in verse 7, and I'm just going to read three verses. Okay? I know you probably want more, but... Haha, get it? Yeah, more. All right, tune in now. Here we are. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7, 8, and 9. And just follow along as I read. Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you, and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. Let's pray. God, as we look at these simple verses of wisdom, a lot of the wisdom just comes out pretty obvious. But Lord, we pray not only to know it today, to recognize it, but to see how it can apply to our lives. Because we've already acknowledged we live in a world that grabs all it can get. Teach us to pray today in a way that is less selfish, less self-centered, and focuses on the daily bread that we need. We pray it in your name. Amen. So, words of wisdom, words to live by, words that are really tough when it comes to prayer. When I was growing up, and a great movie that I saw, I show my kids, they love it too, was the movie Mary Poppins. Do you remember that? Everybody seen that? Anyway, my kids love it. It's a great movie, and Mary Poppins had this saying in the movie, and this is a saying that we use, probably the most quoted phrase out of that movie. We use it in our house all the time. She would say to these bratty kids she was trying to raise who wanted more and more and more, she said, enough is as good as a feast. Those were words of wisdom. Enough is as good as a feast. Now, I like that. And in that movie, they used it, and that was a brief line said once, but it was powerful. And we use it at our house, especially when we begin to complain and think, want more, want more. Enough is as good as a feast. And there's wisdom in that, and that's the same wisdom we find here in Proverbs chapter 30. Wisdom that is ancient, thousands of years old, and we want to take it to heart today. And how we can do that is by looking at this scripture and seeing what it means. Now, maybe the guy who wrote the proverb said, I have two things to ask of you. You saw that when we read it. Two things to ask. And so he asked for the two things that I believe the key thing phrase is that it's a matter of trust when it comes to how we pray. A matter of trust. Now, the first phrase, he says, please keep me from, he says, from falsehood and lies. Keep those far from me. That's his first request. Now, you may say, all right, let's get to the daily bread part, but I want you to see that these two requests are very much related to each other, because one of them deals with a man's spiritual needs, and one of them deals with their physical needs. He's praying the same prayer, but he's praying it about the two different aspects of his life. And he begins with the spiritual by saying, keep falsehood and lies far from me. The word for falsehood there is the same word, the Hebrew word shav, which means idol. It means idol or an imitation God. And what he is saying by saying, keep falsehood and lies far from me, is he's saying, I keep my allegiance to you, God. Don't let me stray from you, wanting more than what you have to offer, and going to idols and other gods. And after all, that's sometimes what we do spiritually, is we go wandering off, because God has a certain principles of life for us to experience life in the fullest. But many people in this world want more than that. They're not satisfied with what God has to offer, and so they look for other gods that can give them other things. And so they search to fulfill this need within them, and they look in all different kinds of places, and they find themselves distracted by the idols, false gods of this world. And what this guy writing Proverbs, this wise man is writing, he's saying, God, keep me focused on you. Don't let me be distracted by idols and the wooings of other gods and the false things of this world. The lies that draw me in other places, the promises that other things make. Let me stay with you. Keep me focused spiritually on you. In other words, to trust in God to meet your needs. The second phrase then, the second request, is what we heard in the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Give me this day the bread that I need for the day. Give me this day the daily bread. That also is a matter of trust, isn't it? How can we pray for that? How is it that this can be a part of our powerful praying, to pray for our daily bread? It shows several things, and we're going to look at them here in a moment, but it is still a matter of trust. Many of us miss out on the blessings of the moment of the day by worrying about tomorrow, don't we? I don't want just what I need for today. I want what I need for tomorrow too. Right? This idea of wanting more and give me more and could you give me a little bit more is not new. It is true throughout the Bible, and we find people wanting more and more from God. More and more. Do you remember when God gave manna to the Israelites? You remember when he gave manna and he said, I'm going to give you bread each day. In fact, when Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread, I'm sure that all the people he was talking to went back to that bread. They knew the story well, how God provided them a daily bread. He didn't give them more than they need. He didn't give them less than they need. He just gave them what they needed for today, just for a day. Now, some people would go out just like we would today, and they gathered as much manna as they could, and they put it in jars and Tupperware and everything, and they made sure it was all safe and well, and they put it away so they could have even more the next day. It was a manna buffet. But what they found is by the next day, the manna was rotted and filled with, and God said, that is violating the trust factor. You only need what you need for today. Don't worry about what you need for tomorrow. Worry about what you need for today, and I will provide that. And it was a matter of trust, because God knows that if we have more than we need, what are we going to do? A according to Proverbs, if we have more than we need, we kind of sit back. I got enough money in the bank. I got a big enough house. I got all the cars I can drive. No gas, but I got cars. And I've got all these things. I've got everything I need. I've got storage facilities filled with stuff in case my other stuff wears out. I got all kinds of stuff, all the food I need. Why do I need God? Right? He says, that's the danger. If you have riches, if you have more than you need, what you find out is you don't have a need for God. That's the temptation. Likewise, the other end, if you don't have what you need, if you're starving, we find that we also decide to take matters into our own hands. And we see at times in the news, and we even understand, don't we? A desperate man whose family's starving, they're foreclosing on their house, they don't have enough money, and the next thing you know, he's in a supermarket and he's stealing food for his family. And we say, man, we know stealing's wrong, but we can understand. If your family's starving, you'd do just about anything. Now, I want you to know that this wise person in Proverbs is not condemning riches or poverty. It's the sin that each can bring. For riches, it's the sin of focusing on yourself and feeling like you can do it all yourself without God. For poverty, it's the sin of trusting yourself and taking things into your own hands. Hey, wait a minute. It's the same sin, isn't it? If I'm poor or if I'm rich, both temptation is the same, to focus on myself meeting my own needs. So God, just give us what we need. Not poverty so that I would focus on meeting my own. Not riches so that I would be satisfied and not need you. Keep me in the middle so I can keep my eyes on you, trusting him for tomorrow. It's a matter of trust. So how do we do that? Well, let me acknowledge some things here for you real quick, and that is that we do live in a world of need. And we live in a world, first of all, that has physical needs. Okay? Physical needs. I know. I live in a real world. Sometimes in church, we get things, 3 feet off the ground, and we're talking about spiritual things, and people go, that's great, preacher, but it takes money to pay my bills. It takes money. I don't know if you've been out there lately. Believe me, I have. Okay? It's like what Madonna said. We live in a material world. For those of you who don't know, Madonna was the first Lady Gaga. Okay? Anyway, we live in a material world, and that's true. That part of that is true. I know we have a real world where it takes money to do things. It takes shelter. People need a home to live in. You need food to eat. I know that. God knows that, and we need to bring our physical needs to God. Jesus was never against us doing that, but take our needs to him who knows what we need. Physical needs. We also live in a world of emotional needs, don't we? To quote another great theologian, John Lennon, he said, all we need is love, right? All you need is love. Now, John Lennon, he was a guy who was in the Beatles, which was a group that Paul McCartney was in. Okay. Most of you here can remember that stuff. But anyway, all we need is love. We have a sense of belonging. There's something within us that calls for nurture. Something within us that says we need love. We need to be loved. We need to give love. God put that in all of us. There's an emotional need. Now, believe me, these needs are worldwide. And I don't care where you go, what language you speak, where you're from, what type of culture you're in, every single person on the planet, everybody created by God, has this inside them, a need to belong and to be loved and to find out who their creator is. And therefore, it goes into the spiritual needs that we have. That's the third thing. We all have spiritual needs. I'll quote somebody that's a little bit more traditional. John Newton. Remember him? He said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. was blind, but now I see. There's a spiritual need we all have. It's a need for peace and fulfillment. It's a need to connect with our Creator. Every person has that. You say, oh no, there's people I know, they say, I don't believe in God. You know what? They have the need. They can cover it, they can fill it up with anything that they want, but they have a need to know and be connected to their Creator. And that's why it's so important for us to be able to help them know how they can connect with that Creator. In one of the hymns in our hymn book, 410, one of my favorites. If you want to look at the hymn book and follow along with me, you can. This is a great one. It is well with my soul. You remember that? Remember that hymn? Written by Horatio Spafford. It says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. Oh, look at that, verse 3. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, it is well. Don't we all have those needs? We have physical needs. We have emotional needs. We have spiritual needs. How do we meet those needs? We go to the one who created us and get him to help meet those needs. So let's tie it into prayer. Let's bring it home. Tie it into prayer. How do we pray powerfully like this? And that's praying more or less. And I want to say, number one, and I love this phrase. I came across it a couple of weeks ago. I want to give it to you today because I think it's so powerful. Being content, you pray, being content with either, but praying for neither. Now, I'm talking about riches or poverty. This comes right out of this what they've put in the Proverbs here. Being content with either. In other words, we pray content for if we're in riches or we're in poverty. We pray being content with whatever we receive. But we don't pray for riches or poverty. We don't pray for either one. We don't pray, God, make me poor. Some of us think God wants us to be poor. Okay? That's not true. Doesn't necessarily want us all to be rich either. So we don't pray for riches. We don't pray for poverty. We pray for neither, but we're satisfied with either. We're content with either. Paul put it this way. It's in Philippians. Maybe you remember these verses. I'm going to read them to you. It's in Philippians 4, and you can jot that down and look it up later. Make sure I'm not making this up. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. This is the Apostle Paul. For I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. See, Paul had needs. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. This is the secret. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. That verse is sometimes misinterpreted as that we can do anything. We can leap the tallest buildings. We can, run faster than a speeding locomotive, and we can do all this. We can do anything with God. What that really means, if you heard it in the context there, is I can be hungry and God will get me through. I can be wealthy and God will get me through. Whatever circumstances I'm in, God will get me through. The secret to contentment is God will help me get through. The prayer, give me this day, give us this day our daily bread, is saying, God, only give me enough. Don't let me get distracted. Don't let me focus on myself, whether it's my need or my abundance. Keep me focused on you, because that's what will get me through. So don't pray for neither. It says, be content with either, but praying for neither. Now, the second thing is that God is trustworthy. We've got to know that. In Romans chapter 8, he says this, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God is trustworthy. God doesn't always give you the thing that you want, but he always gives you what you need, what's best for you. Parents, you understand that, right? A child can ask for all kinds of things, but there's certain things that you know that they need as opposed to what they want. Sometimes there's a division between there, right? And that's the way it is when we pray, too. I would love to have a life that doesn't have any struggles. Well, I can pretty much guarantee that's not what God has in store for me. Because we don't grow and we don't become all that God meant for us to be without struggles, without some pain, without God giving us what we need as opposed to what we want. That's hard to pray, isn't it? Because I have a lot of good ideas, you probably do too. I love giving God my ideas. You know, hey God, it would be really great if you gave me this. But he knows what I need, and he knows what's best for me. God is trustworthy. Do you trust him with your today? Or do you try, God, I need more than that. I need you to give me more so that I know that tomorrow's taken care of. I need more than just what I need today. I need it for tomorrow and a week ahead so I can not worry. God says, trust me and depend on me. Trust me and depend on me. And God knows what you need, doesn't he? God knows what you need. Not only is he trustworthy and he'll always give you the best, but he knows already what you need. And that's important to say today. You say, we know that already. No, you need to know he knows what you need more than you know what you need. In Psalm 139, it says that God created us. He knit us together in our mother's womb. It says there, we got to read it. You got to hear this. This is good stuff because it's really close to Proverbs chapter 30 anyway. In Psalm 139, you can jot it down and look at it later if you'd like. But in verse 13 of that chapter, it says, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days that are ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Wow, God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we need. Now, here's a challenge. This is probably the most incredible part of this that helped sculpt my own prayer life as studying through this series. How many of you have ever gone to God and said, Lord, what do I need today? Isn't it true that most of us go and tell the Lord what we need? Now, if God knows what we need, and he knows what we need better than we do, and our powerful praying comes when we pray for God to give us what we need, then why don't we first start with, what do we need? I want to challenge you to do that this week. I think it'll help transform the way you pray. Lord, before I ask anything, Lord, could you tell me today, what do I need? What do I need today? Reveal it to me. And whatever that is that I need, I'm going to ask that you give it to me. Because you're the one that all things are from. Wow. I had a list. But these are the things I think I need. I'm going to put it over here. What do I need? And then trust him. Well, he knows. And isn't that what Jesus is saying? Give us this day our daily bread. It's not a list. Give me what I need to eat. Give me what I need to survive physically, emotionally, spiritually. Just give it to me, Lord. You know what it is. And whatever it comes my way, whatever circumstances might be, whether I'm a little bit hungry or a little bit full, I know that's from you. And I'll be content with whatever I get. Even if it's a struggle or a little bit painful, I'll take it. Because you know what I need. I don't always know. Try that this week. What do you need? Ask God. He knows exactly what you need. That changes prayer from being selfish and self-centered to being powerful and allowing God to invade your life and to tell you and teach you more about who you are and so that you can become all that you were meant to be. So praying for what we need. Let's just talk about that as we kind of finish up. We need to pray for our spiritual needs. We come to God in humility and pray for those spiritual needs. Lord, I need forgiveness. Lord, I need you to be the Lord of my life. I need you to give me the strength. I need you to give me purpose. I need you to show me where to go. I need you to sculpt me into that person that I was meant to be. So you need God, and you can only come to God for your spiritual needs if you come to him in humility. Now, we also pray for our physical needs. But that requires us to come in with gratitude. With gratitude before God. Lord, thank you for what I do have. Thank you for how you've provided things for me. We come in a spirit of thanks. As people who live in a society of more, we should be the most thankful people. And yet, you know as well as I do, from the time that we're children, that we have to struggle with ingratitude, don't we? You know? Be thankful. Isn't that the purpose of grace when we say grace before a meal? It's a simple reminder that the food didn't come from Safeway or Giant. It comes from God. And the table that you eat it off of, and the house that you eat it in, and the clothes that you wear, it's from God. Grace, saying grace at the table isn't for God's benefit, it's for your benefit to continually remind you that you are not the one that provides your needs. God is the one who provides it, and all things come from him. That's why we remind our children with grace. We remind ourselves. He meets our physical needs. Do we take our physical needs to God? Of course we do. But he knows what we need. And then pray for contentment. Pray in contentment. And that means we got to trust God. Do you really trust him? You know, real, true, powerful prayer is scary. It involves trust. Because it says, God, you know better than I do. I'm not going to make the choice. I'm going to trust in you and only you. And today, you may want me to be hungry. Today, you might want me to be full. But Lord, don't let me be too hungry to forget you or be too full to ignore you. But Lord, give me what I need. Enough is enough. So how do we pray with power? Friends, it's as simple as this. You take your needs to the Lord, and you trust him to know what you need, when you need it, and he will make sure you get it. You know, it always gets me a little bit nervous when people look at promises in the Bible and they say, God promised. So he's got to do it. You know, it's that string we got God on. You know, you promised. Claim the promises of God. And we are supposed to claim the promises of God. I'm not trying to make light of it. But some of us use it in a formula to make God jump when we want him to jump. Friends, we need to trust God that he knows what we need. He knows when we need it. And the promises of Scripture says he knows what we need, when we need it, and you know what? He'll make sure we get it. It just doesn't always happen to be what we want. Because he might want you to be a little hungry today. So you'll trust him. Maybe he wants you to be a little full today. So you'll thank him. But whatever he wants, you have to respond and pray for that. Just give me what I need today, God. Whatever that is. Give us this day our daily bread. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it seems like a simple phrase, but as people who live in a society that you've blessed so much, that when we pray for our daily bread, we sometimes think it's second helpings. We think it's for more than we need, but for all that makes us happy and comfortable. Forgive us for that, God, and allow us to trust you to meet our needs so that we can stop focusing on ourselves and focus on being a part of what you have for us out there, which is helping to meet the needs of the people around us. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we close this time together, this service, it's a time where we reflect ourselves on what's going on. Maybe you've never really come to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You don't have that relationship, so praying powerfully, you're struggling and scrimping and scratching to make it through this life, and your goal is to just eke through each day. I want you to know there is a God who wants you to experience life in its fullest. In its fullest, he wants you to become, once again, connected to him in a personal relationship so that you can pray, "Our Father," and not to some God out there. You can know him. Some of you, you have that sense of belonging. Maybe you don't have a group that you belong to. This is a group, a church, a local body of believers that we have a belonging here. And you can join and be a part of our congregation so that we can go out and share with the world a message that God loves us. We invite you to come. We open the doors of membership to you. Or maybe you just, where you are today, you need to just kind of tweak your prayer life a little bit to go from being just a prayer with a list of needs for God to fulfill to a prayer where you say, "God, what do I need? And I trust you with it." Make that correction. Connect with God wherever you are. And this is the time to do that. We're going to sing a closing hymn, "Only Trust Him," hymn 317. And as we sing that hymn, it's time for you to respond. You and the Lord. So let's stand together and let's sing.